Last week we looked at, 13 of the 15 Song of Ascents, really concentrating on God, our watchman, the keeper of our soul, how he faithfully looks over, watches. But this morning, we're going to look at another block of Psalms and really land on one. But beginning with Psalm 133, a familiar psalm we used to sing in church, about the unity of the brethren. A short psalm. These first two are the last two of the Song of Ascents. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The unity of the brethren. Psalm 134, another psalm we used to sing. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless ye the Lord. Psalm 135. God has done great things listed in there, contrasted with, idols and the uselessness and the deadness of idols and idol worship. Psalm 136, God's mercy endures forever. We read this morning. Psalm 137, look at the beginning of 137. It was a time when Israel was in captivity in Babylon. Look at verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung up our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked us to, a song, asked us to sing. For those who plundered us requested myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How in captivity, really expressing their sadness, being in captivity, and yet singing for another, and yet singing with a heart, being away from the homeland. The sadness. Psalm 138. God answered my prayer. It's a song, a psalm of a prayer and praise. Look in verse 7. Psalm 138. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. The answer to David's prayer with praise. Psalm 139 this morning we're going to look at closely. Really being searched by God and really volunteered to be searched by God. Psalm 140, it's a prayer for protection. And before we read 139, let's pray. Father, again, we turn to you. And Lord, you know our hearts and our shortcomings, our failures, our struggles, our pain. And Lord, we turn to you this morning. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We ask that you would override our souls by your Spirit. That you would feed your sheep. That you would minister by your hand, by your word, by your Spirit. Give us our portion, Lord, as we turn to you and open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 139 is a really interesting psalm in that it speaks of God and then really a response about the realization of who God is. In it, it speaks of God's attributes. Look in verse 1, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. First six verses in the psalm speak of a characteristic or an attribute of God, His omniscience. You know, there's things about God that makes God God. You know, we can look at all the different characteristics or attributes of God. You know, He's invisible. He's immutable or unchangeable. You know, different things about God. He's incomparable. He's unsearchable. He's unequaled. He's infinite. He's eternal. But Psalm 139 really settles on a few of His attributes. The first one is His, what we call, omniscience. You know, the attributes we've got, omni means all, and then shins, really, science is what the word is. Omniscience. He knows everything. He's all-knowing, is what the Bible tells us about God. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. The psalmist writes, 1 John, the Bible tells us, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. He knows all things. The second portion of this psalm speaks of another attribute of God, beginning in verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. The second attribute Psalm 139 reveals about God is really the dominant one in this psalm. It's His omnipresence, for He's all present, the Bible tells us. God knows everything, and God is ever present. He's everywhere. God is everywhere. That's what makes God God, another characteristic or an attribute of God. He knows everything, and He's everywhere, ever present. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah, can anyone hide himself? The Lord speaking in the first person. Can anyone hide himself in secret places? So I shall not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? He's ever present, omnipresent. He's omniscient, all knowing. He's omnipresent. The next characteristic in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, speaks of His omnipotence. Look in verse 13. For you form my inward parts. You cover me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. It's foreknowledge. God's omnipotence, that means He's all-powerful, El Shaddai. God knows everything. God is ever-present. God is all-powerful. Jeremiah writes, the Lord speaking, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Certain attributes about God that make God God. You know, that he knows everything. That he's ever present. And he's all powerful. He's eternal. But in this psalm, setting it apart, making it so interesting, is that he not only talks and declares about God's attributes, but how they personally relate to him. And we can think, well, God, sure, he's all-powerful. He created the earth. He created the heavens. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews, that by faith we know that God framed the worlds through his spoken world. He spoke it into existence. We know he created everything. But the psalmist talks about how he created him individually, personally. He makes it personal, God's attributes, how God personalizes himself to David, to us. He knows everything about me, is what David is claiming. He's not only all-knowing, but he knows everything about me. He knows my thoughts before I think them. He knows my ways. He knows what's in my heart. He knows my sitting down and my rising up, the Bible says. You know, that could be likened to, hey, he knows when I'm low. He knows when I'm lifted up. He knows when I'm discouraged. He knows when I'm encouraged. He knows what encourages me, what discourages. He knows everything about me. My thoughts, he understands my thoughts. He comprehends my path. That word for comprehend means winnow. It means that he sifts, or he tests, or he filters me. He knows me intricately. He knows the real me. He's acquainted with all my ways. He knows my words before I speak them. He knows what's in my heart. He knows what I'm going to say before I say it. God knows everything about me personally, about you. He knows us. How I tick, how I feel, what I think, what motivates me, what motivates you. His foreknowledge. The Bible says he knows when, you know, we were born. He knows everything about our life, written in a book, before we even do them. He knows everything about me and you personally. God knows everything. His knowledge, his omniscience, relates to you and I personally. Knows everything about me, David says. He knows where I'm at. He's omnipresent. But David personalizes it. Where can I go? Where can I leave? How can I leave your presence? I can't. He says, I can't flee. I can't run from you. Wherever I go, there you are. You're everywhere where I'm at. There's a difference now. His omnipresence is where I'm at. Notice in verse 9, 139, one guy translates this, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the other parts of the sea, if I travel at the speed of light and I go to the farthest part from where I'm at, if I go to the farthest distance away on this planet, there you are. Where I am, you are, because you're everywhere. Look in verse 12. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Can't hide, can't flee, can't escape. Always in his presence. See, David personalizing who God is, his attributes. You know, God is all-knowing. He knows everything about me. God is ever-present. He's everywhere. He's with us right now. David personalizing God's characteristics, his attributes, his power. David writes, the power that made me, created me, putting us together. He says, you knew me, you formed me, you fashioned me. You know, some would call the early, you know, beginning, shaping of a baby, embryo. He knows us putting us together, bringing the DNA. He fashioned and formed us. He actually created us in our mother's womb. He bringing the chromosome and the protein that carries the genes, bringing the genes and the gene pool together, forming the embryo or the baby in its first stage in my mother's womb. He created me. He created you. He's all powerful. You know, it's one thing to think that God created everything. He did. All life. But he created us personally, David said. My frame, my skeleton, my bone structure. That's what he's saying, you know. You large bone, small bone. He made you. He made me. Forming us in our mother's womb. Look in verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. In verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Putting us together. Creating us as a child with the gifts, with the makeup, with the talents and the abilities. God made us individually, personally, for his work. God loves us. David, in this psalm, you know, literally, it's David writing about God. It applies to us. But it's David writing about who God is and how God loves him. The description of, God and who he is and how he is to us personally, or how he was to David personally. He knows everything about me. Look in verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. The realization that David comes into, it's not only that God knows everything, but God knows everything about me, or God knows everything about you, or God knows everything about David. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows what's in our heart, what makes us tick. He knows what we yearn for, long for, what we've been created for. He knows why, what motivates us. Everything about us, he knows. And David coming to the realization that says, whoa, such knowledge is just too wonderful for me. The realization that God is concerned and thinking about and knows all about me, made me, thinks, you know, understands my thoughts, understands how I tick, knows everything about me, all knowing. Look in verse 10, his response, ever present. Even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. You know, the realization of God being everywhere and me being where God is. Even if, you know, wherever I'm at, God, you're there. And why are you there? To lead me, to hold me up, to protect me, to watch over me. How he personalizes it, how he describes God's love for him. And then in verse 14, notice, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. It's too much. You're too good. You know, it's marvelous. It's wonderful that God would put us together. You know, everybody's been hooping and hollering about Darwin's birthday. And the truth is, you know, our worldview is we believe in creation, that God made us. But the reality, the realization of God being our creator, that he put us together for a reason. Special. He made us special, individual. The Bible tells us we're his work, his handiwork. In Psalm, the Bible, 19, the Bible says that you look at the firmament and you see the handiwork of God. All the brilliance of the constellation, the stars, the planet, the solar system, the Milky Way, the galaxies, the universe. And yet, we're his work, his handiwork. David, coming to the realization of God's love. God loves you. God loves me. And these adjectives he uses, oh, they're too much, too wonderful, marvelous. it applies to us. It was David literally talking about him and his relationship with the Lord. I like what JoJo says. You know, I'll be with JoJo and I'll say, man, I want some popcorn. She says, me too. I want something to drink. Me too. You know, are you hungry? Yeah. She always wants in on it. But it applies to us. Me too. You know, God made me in my mother's womb, personally, wiring me, you know, for a reason. I think sometimes, you know, I look at, yeah. Look in verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me. His description of God's love. How you think about me. You're concerned about me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them? If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Think about God. Does he really care about me? Is he concerned about me? The Bible would describe that he's thinking about us all the time. If you could number the thoughts of God toward us, they would outnumber the sand on the sea. He's concerned. He loves us. He thinks about us all the time. He's thinking about us. That's what you do when you're crazy about someone. You think about them all the time. God, thoughts, oh, they're precious. Wonderful, marvelous, precious are your thoughts toward me. Concerned about us, loves us, thinks about us all the time. But the Bible isn't really a psalm that, you know, celebrates so much God's attributes or how they relate to David or to us personally. But it's a psalm about an investigation, an examination. It's really volunteering to be searched. Search me, know me, Lord. Look at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. That word anxieties in the King James is thoughts. Search me, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, you think about how God loves us, how he's concerned about us personally, how he made us, how he's with us, he'll never leave us. How precious is his thoughts toward us, how he formed us so special in our mother's womb. You think about what God thinks about us, it'll raise us up. But, you know, sometimes I think in my thoughts about myself. I think about, you know, my gene pool. I'll look at my mother and my dad. And I'll think, you know, my mother's was this way. My dad was this way. Thus, it's the type of cloth I was cut out of. And it's who I am. And I could take it another step or further. My grandparents. I see how my mother was. The way she was. My dad's parents. You kind of like can see the whole handwriting. You know, what type of cloth you've been cut out. Sometimes I think I've been cut out of some pretty tough cloth. Some cowhide. But the truth is, I got some rice paper panels. But the truth, you know, that we can look and fall short and misconstrue who we are. You know, we see ourselves through our thoughts. My thought, who I am, my mother, my dad, the way they were, and limit or restrain or restrict God's thoughts. But here's an examination David comes to. You know, given the reality of God, he knows everything about me. He made me. He's ever present. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He can do anything. He's everywhere. Who God is. The overwhelming factor that changes everything. Who God is. And that he personally loves me. God loves us. Precious are your thoughts toward me. But it's a psalm about an investigation. Search me, Lord. Know me. Sift me. Winnow means to sift. But again, David, looking at God who he is, it's with a healthy perspective. We look at David. David's a man after God's own heart. David's a man that chooses God. David's a man that wants God, that desires God, that looks to God and responds to his love. He loves me. Thus, search me, Lord. Look in my heart. Sift me, Lord. Test my thoughts. You know my past. You got my future. Sometimes I limit myself. I think, okay, hey, I'm from my mom. I'm from my dad. Therefore, my destiny is, A, B equals C. But that's not what David's saying. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit spoke through David. Not David's words. It's the Holy Spirit's words. He's saying, your future is written in his book. He holds the penmanship. He's the author. It's his book. It's his plan. It's his way. His thoughts. His power. His presence. The Bible tells us, marvelous. Look in verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully worked. Marvelous are your works. I'm your work, Lord. I belong to you. You fashion and knit me together. Your plan for me is better than my thoughts about me. If your own heart condemns you, 1 John says, God is greater than your heart. He knows everything. He knows things we can't see. He understands life. Marvelous are your works, his work. No, he knows where I'm at. He knows where you're at. He knows everything about us. And, David in the psalm, he doesn't really talk about if I flee and I escape and I run and I go over here and I travel at the speed of light to the other side of the door. I go to China right now, boom. I go to China, boom. You are there. And some people do go to China trying to escape God. We've talked to people. I'm going to go to China as a missionary. Really running from God. Really running from God and what God wants them to do. People run. They think they go to Florida. I'm running from responsibility. I'm going to Florida. Sunshine State. To embrace misery and truth in their conscience. But you don't flee God. And David's not talking really about running from God. He's saying, hey, if, theoretically, I was to be beamed over anywhere you can think of, there you are, I can't avoid you, Lord. You're always there in my life. And it's really not an escape from God. God provides an escape to him. He's always there to open himself up to us. That's what the Bible is about, revealing himself to us. This is a revelation about God. He's everywhere. God knows everything about us. He's all-powerful. He can do anything, change everything. The truth about God. And I can escape to him. He says, to him, even there, the psalmist writes, wherever, even there, your hand leads me, you guide me, you're over me, you protect me, you hedge me in. So what's my response? David is a man after God's own heart. Given the truth about who God is, the revelation, David comes into the realization from the revelation, hey, he's crazy about me, he loves me. And David, from the revelation to the realization, comes into an acceptance. I'm yours, Lord. What are my options? You're everywhere. You made me. I belong to you. You have claim over my life. Relation. From revelation to realization to relation. It's kind of interesting, you know. You think about it. He knows everything. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, remember he came to the beach and he was frying the fish there. Peter came to him and he struck up the conversation, the question of Peter. Peter, do you love me? What's your response, Peter? Do you love me? Lord, you know he used the word agape. Do you agape me? You love me unconditionally more than anything in the whole world. Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo you. I love you, you know, like a brother, brotherly love. So Jesus said the same thing. Peter, do you love me more than these? More than the fish? More than the other disciples? We don't know who he's talking about exactly. Peter says, you know I phileo you, Lord. Then he come back, cut his heart. Peter, do you phileo me? He came down to his level. Peter, do you phileo me? You love me like a brother, man. You love me like your own brother. Will you take me as your own brother? Peter says, cut. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. You know what's in my heart. You know what's my response to you, your love. Who you are, Lord. And really, that's what the psalm's about. It's kind of a psalm that encourages us responding to his love, responding to who he is, trusting him, opening our hearts to him. Really, voluntarily, you know, I watch these programs on TV, you know, the cop shows and stuff, and these cops, you know, they'll say, can I search your car? And I'm thinking in my mind, and I sometimes say it, don't let him search your car. You have the right not to let him search your car. That's where he went wrong. So he starts searching, that's where they found the marijuana. You don't have to let them search your car, but they bluff you, you know. We'd like to search your car. You got anything to hide? But this psalm's about voluntarily being searched. Lord, who you are and what you think about me, and you really love me. Search my heart, Lord. Try my thoughts. Open my heart to you. That's what he's doing. Opening himself, trusting, exposing himself. And notice in verse 23, the sequence. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts from the inside out, God. You know, Jesus said, it's not your thoughts. It's not your words. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, man speaketh. Your heart is the inside, is what he's after in response to trust him with our heart. So often, you know, I can't open my heart. I can't expose them rice paper panels to him. I've been hurt. I've been hurt in the past. Hurt by my dad, hurt by my mom, hurt by some friend. I've been betrayed. I've been violated. That keeps us, you know, wrapping them rice paper panels with some of that, you know, cowhide. I don't want to open my heart to you, Lord. I don't want to trust you. But that's the whole purpose and intent, you know, of the psalm. Lord, you're so good. You love me. You know everything about me. You made me. You made me for a plan. And turning our heart to him. Search me, Lord. Turn the lights on. You know what? You know my thoughts before I think of. You know what motivates me? And you know his intent. There's a little section in here in my Bible I didn't highlight. It's about, you know, well, look in verse 19. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. God's judgment. God, who God is. You know, we look, oh, he knows everything about me. He loves me. He knows my thoughts. He knows my heart. He's everywhere. I can't leave him. He's always there. He never leave me or forsake me. He's all powerful. Nothing can he not change. Notice the sequence. In my heart, and my words from the inside out. You know, search my heart. From the inside out, change me. Nothing can he. But God judges sin and judges evil. And, you know, David disassociating himself from evil and judgment, and so should we. We're with him. We're walking with the Lord. But God judges evil, still wants to deal with that in our hearts. You know, no man has ever died without some kind of unconfessed sin. I was reading that by Ironside the other day. No man, as righteous as you think you might be, walking and praising God, whatever, there's something down in there, in your heart, that's depraved. It goes way back. I mean, we're rooted, stemmed from Adam. Sin. Descendants of ancestral sin. Gook. Depravity. Sinful nature. You know, we come to a certain level. We confess all our sin. What we know. And, you know, and yet, there's still gook in there. Search me, Lord. Don't show me too much. Show me what I can handle. One time I was at the Detroit Public Library, and I had a piece of carpet, and I was feeling my oats. I was feeling good that day, walking with the Lord, praising the Lord. And I was carrying the carpet on my back, pushed the freight elevator. I said, Lord, you're so good. Just show me everything about me. Stupid thing to say. By the time I got to the second floor, it was like I was totally defeated. Now, I was like more than a wretch. I was like, oh, God, that's disgusting. It took me, you know, 20 minutes just to lift my head up. The reality, who's in what I am, deep down. But the willingness, David, comes before the Lord. Show me, Lord. I trust you. I'm in good hands. According to your plan, according to your way, according to your thoughts, according to your love. Volunteer to be searched. Now, let's stand. The last request, and lead me in the way of everlasting. The whole direction of the psalm is that, yes, I trust myself to you, Lord. I open my heart to you. Lead me into eternity to be with you, to live with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word and, Lord, the revelation that comes from your word, the revelation of who you are, all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful, always with us, Lord. The revelation of who we are before you, Lord, in need of you, in need of submission and acceptance of the realization of who you are. Relation. You came, Lord, to die on the cross, so that I can restore, be restored. You came. I was lost. Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You rescued me, Lord. You found me. You delivered me. And Lord, you see our hearts. Any past inhibiting walls or pain or hurt, Lord, we turn to you. We hold up our heart. Search us, Lord. You know us already. It's ridiculous for us to hold back. We're already exposed. Open and naked, we stand before you, to whom we'll give an account. Lord, do. Turn the lights on. And help us, Lord, trust openly. Hold nothing back. Openly experience your love, your plan, your thoughts, your ways, your presence, your power. Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to you, the keeper of our soul. We ask, Lord, that you plant your word in our hearts, that we respond to your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the Lord be with you May he pour out his spirit upon you and your heart. Oh, his mercy endures forever. His love, his goodness, his healing, his presence, his plan, his restoration. Oh, that he open our eyes that we might realize why he created us, put us together in our mother's womb, that we would walk with him. Love him in response. Interact in a relationship with him. May he oversee and override our shortcomings. Lift us up with him. In Jesus' name, amen.